I just can't help it. I can't give it up. Just kidding. First of all, I want to thank you, Bobby, for preaching and proclaiming the word. Come on up. For proclaiming the word to us today. It's going to be a blessing in my life in two ways. Number one, it gave me a moment to have some downtime and to not have my mind in thinking about preparing a lesson for today. And our folks, and it blesses y'all because y'all need a break from me. There's no doubt every now and then. Amen. And I take no offense to that whatsoever. And boy, I just had an incredible time thinking deeply about Revelation this past week in the lectures, and not to mention the scenery. Have any of y'all ever been to Malibu, California? Anybody in here? Oh my. I called Mindy and I said, you're not going to believe this. Incredible view. I've got the mountains to the right and the ocean on the left. And she says, well, I got a beautiful view too. She was on her way to teach school at Louis. She goes, I got a cornfield on the right and the railroad track on the left. So top that. But anyway, God has just blessed my life and restored my soul. And Bobby, thank you. Thank you for that gift. And thank you for bringing us the word this morning. Bobby does have the gift of proclamation. And we are blessed as a people because of his presence in our church family. So I want to pray for Bobby. Almighty God, we thank you this day. Thank you for raising up great servants of yours in the life of this church. And Father, every person in this fellowship has been blessed and gifted by you. And Bobby's been gifted in a glorious way, Father. And I just pray that you'll give him the courage that he needs today. Father, just fill him with your love. Take any anxiousness he may have. And just, Father, through this servant of yours, teach us your ways. May your name and your glory be lifted up above all else. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Morning. You're probably wondering what all this is about, huh? Well, anybody that's been around me long knows there's two things that I love. Well, there's more than two. There's three, but so we'll cover all three this morning. One is I love to cook. Spent all day yesterday barbecuing. Was going to try to do that, but it'd probably smoke it up too bad in here. So, and then of course we're limited for time, so I had to come up with something that that would work in the amount of time that you guys will be willing to sit and listen to me. The second thing that I love is Jesus. He's the rock in my life. He's done so many things to bless me. And one of the most important things that he's blessed me with is my wife, Mandy. And she's the other thing that I love in my life. So this morning, I'm going to attempt to use cooking with the Word of God and a few stories about my wife. I'll try to stay out of trouble. To get God's message across to you. So you're wondering, what is all this about? Well, when I took my speech class in college, one of the things they said to me was, you have to know your audience when you're going to speak to a group. So I need y'all's help this morning. I need to poll my audience to find out that if I'm with the right group. So I'm going to ask you to participate for just a second. And if you could, raise your hand and keep it up when I say something that you agree with or something that is reflective in your life. So if you're married, raise your hand and keep it up. Okay? If you plan on getting married someday, raise your hand and keep it up. Everybody keep your hands up for both those groups. Okay? I got a few stragglers out there. If you love pizza, raise your hand and keep it up. All right. It looks like the sermon may work this morning. You put your hands down. Thank you very much. All right. So I've kind of given the secret away. What are we doing this morning? Well, we're going to cook some pizza. One of my favorites. All right. Before we get started cooking, I want to find out who has been married for the shortest time, because I really want those people to listen to me. So if you've been married less than 4 months, raise your hand. Okay, if you've been married less, let's start with a year. If you've been married less than a year, raise your hand. Okay, we got a winner right here, all right? It's okay, I'm not going to make you come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I will have a gift for you at the end of the service, okay? I do want y'all to listen to me. I've been married a few years, and this was actually a sermon that I heard from a preacher up in the Woodlands called Kerry Shook. And when I used to work shift work, I used to Sunday mornings we were able to turn the television on at the plant, and I used to watch his messages all the time. And he did this message, and it really helped me relate to getting a recipe for my relationship with my wife. And so this morning, that's the topic of our sermon. We're going to get a recipe for our relationships. Now, I know all of you weren't married. That's okay. Hopefully you're going to one day if you're not, or you've been married. And if not, you may just learn how to make a good pizza this morning. So we'll go ahead and get started. Now, there's all kind of pizzas out there. And I don't mean to relate this to, let me get a few things out here. Now, hopefully, not anybody in this church, but y'all may know somebody that your marriage kind of looks like this pizza. I don't know. You read into it all you want. But if your marriage is frozen, or a tombstone represents your marriage, you might want to pay attention this morning, okay? We'll put this one up here. That's not your gift. It's better than that. Now, some of you said, nah, we're not frozen. You know, we've thawed out a little bit. So, but some of your marriages may be like this. The old pizza delivery. The old quick, you know, fast, not a lot of thought put into it. We're just going through the motions. We're just getting food. If your marriage is in this arena, you might want to pay attention this morning. All right, so let me get a few ingredients out here. I don't know about the emerald comment, but I did watch The Chew the other day. They're pretty funny. We got a bunch of good stuff. Oh, yeah, there's some good stuff back here. Let's see here. You got to have a lot of ingredients for a good pizza, right? All right. Now, let me make a little disclaimer real quick. I am blessed to be here and blessed that God allows me to do this and that this church allows me to share with you guys. But I am not an ordained minister. I am not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or a marriage counselor. So I'm probably not even qualified to talk about marriage today, except that I'm married and I have a little experience. Oh, and I did watch Dr. Phil this week, so that may help me out a little bit. We'll see how far that gets me. So, just like in pizza, there are key ingredients that you have to have, and there's the stuff that kind of make it your own or spice it up. So we're going to start out this morning making a healthy pizza. Now, my wife and I, since January, we finally decided we needed to go on a diet. So, but we love to cook and eat. So what we decided, we were going to start eating healthy. So this morning, we're going to make a healthy pizza. It's not a frozen pizza. It's not a Domino's or Papa John's or whatever else we have around Mr. Gaddy's pizza. We're going to make a homemade healthy pizza. And I want you guys to get that, because that's key to the message this morning. We need church to start making homemade healthy relationships. And it starts with the right ingredients. Okay? Now, make sure the thing works. There we go. All right. So Garrison read this for us this morning. This is just so I can prove that this is out of the Word. This is God's message. I'm not just up here cooking for you guys. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, everyone must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love each other, have compassion, and be humble." Folks, that's the recipe. That's the recipe that God has given us for relationships. Those are the key ingredients. And we're going to use those this morning as we make our pizza and we learn about relationships. Okay. Now, the basis for any good pizza is the pizza dough, which I have right here. The basis for any relationship is love. So let me get my dough ready. Now, this was a challenge. I went through two or three recipes. I've really struggled with the dough because this is healthier dough. Did y'all catch that? Healthier. Now, look, I almost messed up. What do you got to put on your board before you start rolling out dough? You got to powder it up a little bit. See, I needed a bigger table. All right, so we'll get our flour on the board and take our dough out. Yeah, it's going to stick on me. That's okay. This dough is homemade. This is not store-bought. And it is wheat dough. Okay? It's made from wheat flour because we're making a healthy pizza this morning. So, and I will tell you, Manny and I did sample this. It is good. Okay? So like love, sometimes love, we got to do a little kneading. We got to do a little pressing. Okay? We got to do a little pushing, a little rolling, okay, in our relationships. We got to work our love, okay? We can't just say, "Oh, we're in love," and just call it good, you know? We've got to work our love, okay? Sometimes to get love where we want it, we got to put a little pressure. We got to roll it out, okay? So we'll roll our dough or our love out. Now, do y'all like thin crust or thick crust? Thick? I'm talking about the couple here that's going to get the surprise at the end. I just told you what the surprise was, didn't I? All right. So, wow. This did much better at the house. So you continue to work your love and roll it out. See, I need one of those cameras like they have on the cooking show so you can see what's going on. All right, well, I saw this done once. I did work at Pizza Hut in high school, so I'm qualified to cook a pizza. Well, hold on. I was a delivery guy. I don't know if that counts either. All right, so. Who wants me to do it? Oh, yeah. All right. Hoopa. All right. All right. So there's our pizza dough. Now, what does that say? What does that kind of, be nice to me. What does that kind of look like? I say, or a circle, right? I said kind of. I'm glad I probably didn't hear one of those comments, but there's a lot of laughing. Yeah, anybody that's been to a John McCord wedding, he talks about the circle. He talks about the ring and that never-ending love, okay? So this love is a circle. It represents the love that we have for each other in a marriage. So we got our pizza dough. Put it over here on our pan. All right. A couple of scriptures I want to share with you just real quick. Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other with all genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Okay, a couple of key words in that scripture is genuine affection. Okay. Now, guys, I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. Can you give genuine affection to your wife with a remote control in your hand? No, you can't. All right. So, don't worry, ladies. You are coming too. This is a marriage class, not a pick on the guys class. Ladies, Can you give genuine affection when all you're worried about is what you're going to wear that day or how long it takes you to put your makeup on? Sorry if I'm stepping on toes. Genuine affection, okay? Really being affectionate with your spouse. Taking those few seconds to do that. The other one is to delight in honoring each other. Now, we do this in many ways. You know, we know what each other, you know, what we can do for each other to honor them, take care of them. It can be something as simple as flowers, a card, or just making sure that every night before you go to bed, you give that spouse a kiss and you tell them you love them. Okay? Those are little things that you do to honor each other. Now, love can mean different things to men and women. For men, love tends to lead to intimacy. Okay? That's how men reflect on love. That's how they know that their wife loves them, is the intimacy that the wife provides to the husband. Women, on the other hand, want to feel treasured. Okay? They want to feel treasured. Proverbs 31:10 says, "A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can have." Did y'all get that, guys? A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can have. So we got to treasure her, okay? You can treasure her. If you don't know what that means, to treasure your wife, how many of you guys got a shotgun that you just love dearly? John McCord, raise your hand. Now, John probably spends a ton of time cleaning that gun and talking to it and making sure it's always ready to go. John treasures that shotgun, okay? That's how we need to treasure our spouse. It could be a truck. It could be a set of golf clubs, you know. You got to figure out what you treasure in your life and what you spend most of your time treasuring. But just like John's shotgun, his wife loves to be talked to, maybe a little back rub, you know, spend time with nothing but John and Mindy, right? Am I close? All right, good. Right on track. So, guys, we need to treasure our wives, and we need to treasure them more than we treasure our little toys. Now, one of the ways that my wife and I asked her this earlier. I said, you know, what is it that I do, hopefully that there are some, that I do that makes you feel treasured as my wife? And one of the things that we do, and we'll talk about a little bit more later, is every week we have a date night. Now, I know I'm putting some guys on the spot here, but we started this about 2 or 3 years ago. And we don't miss very many. We have date nights. No kids, just us. We go somewhere, do something, just us together. And I'm telling you, that has worked wonders in our relationship because it's our time, okay? And she said that's one of the ways that she feels treasured is I make sure that every week that we, even if it's on our usual Thursday night, we make up for it if we miss it. Every once in a while, we'll have to miss it, but... that's one of the ways that I make my wife feel treasured. Guys, just a hint also, as we talked about the intimacy portion that the guys like, that when the wives dote on us and they love on us, if you're treasuring your wife correctly, you're not going to have a problem in that area, okay? If you're taking care of your wife and you're spending that time with her, she is going to love you, okay? She's going to be there for you. Now, so we can get this pizza cooked this morning, we need to move on in our ingredients. Anybody tell me what's next? Sauce, yeah. Now, this sauce is special sauce. It has been passed down from generation to generation. It's secret sauce. It's special sauce for our family. Okay, it's Ragu, but... I wasn't even going to attempt to make the sauce after the battle I had with the pizza. So the sauce is important to the pizza, okay? The sauce is what holds your ingredients together. It's the glue. So sauce in our relationships is the security that we have in our relationship. So here we're, a lot of sauce, little sauce. How do y'all like it? A lot. All right. So now y'all keep asking, well, why aren't you making it the way you make your pizza? Well, just like in my relationship, what works in my relationship may not work in their relationship. Maybe close, may have some similarities, but just like everybody's pizza's a little different. You know, I thought about doing anchovies and artichokes, and my wife steered me away from that. She said not everybody likes that stuff. I don't know why. You know, sometimes if things are a little dull or frozen, you may want to go ahead and throw some jalapenos on, spice it up a little bit. That's one of my favorites, pepperoni and jalapeno. But love, security is our second ingredient. That's what holds it together. Proverbs 3:26 says, "The Lord is your security." The Lord meets our deepest needs, including love, security, purpose, fulfillment, and happiness. Let me say those again. The Lord meets. Guys, get this. Girls, get this. Listen to me real quick. The Lord meets love, security, purpose, fulfillment, and happiness. Now, I didn't say your husband or your wife meets that. Okay? So don't look for your spouse to meet all those solely. Now, can God use your spouse to meet those? Absolutely. It's part of the recipe. But don't look solely to your spouse to meet all those needs without God's help. And if times get tough, don't look to your spouse alone to fix it. You've got to look to God, okay? Because this is His recipe. Now, for a man, for him to feel secure, he's got to be encouraged, okay? There's nothing better than when I do something, I cook something, or, you know, I make something at the house or build a project, than for Mandy to look at me and say, "Man, that you did a good job. That was great. That tasted awesome." I could care less, you know, what Mike Moran said or Jesse Avendon. I'll listen to him and, yeah, thanks. But she's my best critic and she's my honest critic. She tells me, and it just rocks my world, okay, when she is proud of me and when she encourages me to do great things. So, ladies, encourage your guys. It does great things for them. Now, you guys, and I teach this to my kids even at their age. Well, I've been teaching this for quite a while. Women need to feel protected. They need to feel secure. They need to feel safe. They need to feel, did y'all hear that word? They need to feel. That's something guys aren't good at. We aren't good at the feel portion of our relationship. Okay? We just want to do stuff and go, you know, fix it and go. Women have to feel things. That's the way God wired them. Okay? Just like God wired us to need encouragement and need people to shore us up. Women need to feel. They feel that, when you want to feel that emotion. So you need to make your wives feel secure, both physically safe, emotionally secure, and financially secure. Those are key areas. That's a whole sermon in itself right there, those three areas. But understand that you're the security guard of her heart, and you need to keep her secure. You need to keep those toppings from sliding off the pizza. Okay, you need to use enough security, enough sauce. You know, every little girl wants a knight in shining armor, right? We see all the Disney movies and all that. Every little girl wants a knight in shining armor. But for the most part, they will settle for a knight in rusty armor, okay? Thank God. Thank God, because a lot of us have some rust on our armor. You know, they want you there to protect them, okay? In those three areas, physically, emotionally, financially. You know, when Mandy and I first got together, we were still trying to figure out the dynamics of our relationship. And I figured, since I was the spontaneous, fun guy, and she was the conservative, organized person, first shot, we thought maybe she ought to take care of our finances, right? Well, she did, and she did her very best. But our problem was, she had this spontaneous husband that really didn't want to know what the account looked like. He just wanted to go buy golf clubs, and he wanted to go fishing and get a boat, and, you know. And I'm telling you, that was a couple of years of some pretty rough spots. You know, and then the day when it came, two things happened that God worked in our marriage. One was, I read a book by this guy you may have heard of. His name is Dave Ramsey, okay, the financial peace guru. The other thing is I went a little hog wild one year, and it was just before Christmas. And I said, well, we got to go Christmas shopping. It's time to go get gifts for the kids. And I said, how are we looking? And she started crying. And it wasn't tears of joy. I had overspent. And she loved me so much, she didn't want to let me know that you're done. Give me the debit card, give me the checkbook, you're done. So we started talking about this. And I quickly realized that it wasn't her managing the finances incorrectly. It was me. I was the problem. And we found this out through trial and error. And so I said, fine, I'll start doing the books. And that happened how many years ago? Four? About 4 years ago. Now, it's not that I'm better at the books than she is. Is I'm forced to control my spontaneous spending. And I'm telling you, that was another key area in our relationship that we solved, because I would not overspend, because I always knew what we had in our account. Now, every once in a while, I'm human. I mess up. But for the most part, we've been blessed. And God has honored us because we have been more frugal with our finances. So that's one of the ways that I gave her security, financial security, by taking that over. And I'm telling you, the burden was lifted. I mean, she would dread, you know, having to pay bills and letting me know what we couldn't pay that month. And she would come to me as if she was a failure. It wasn't her. It was really me. So that's just a lesson that you guys can take away. You know, a man's encouragement. You know, a lot of people say that a man's ego is too big, okay? We're big, tough guys, you know. But realistically, a man's ego is probably the most fragile thing that he has, okay? That's why it's always having to be shored up, okay? So, ladies, be careful with your man's ego. Don't cut him down. Don't burn him down. You keep his ego up, because once you fracture that ego, okay, you might fracture his ability to love you and take care and be secure to you. Colossians 3:13 says, wives, understand and support your husbands. So you need to confirm. You need to affirm him. You need to talk to him. You need to love your husbands. Okay? They need to be up here. And I can tell you that, you know, when I'm at a project at the house and I fix something, you know, be it a dishwasher or whatever, you know, I get done, and the first thing I do, you know, I get everything done and turn the knob, and it starts. First thing I do is I look at her. Okay? And then I get that smile right there. Y'all see it? Turn around, show them the smile. No. The smile and the wink. And I mean, I'm the man. You know? I am up here. Now, I may not be the man, because it'll probably break about 15 minutes later. But right there in that moment, she has done everything she had to do just with a smile and a wink. Okay, and I love her for that. I mean, that's give that man the security, build that ego up, and you're going to do wonders in your marriage. Now, back to the pizza. I know you guys were saying, "Is everybody going to finish so we can eat the pizza?" Now here we have cheese. I don't extra cheese. Did I hear that? I like the way you think, man. Now, this is probably kind of healthy. It's mozzarella. Get it on here real good. Now, one of the tricks when Mandy and I were practicing our cooking skills the other day on this, because I was a Boy Scout, I like to be prepared, is, you know, and I learned this when I worked at Pizza Hut, is you want to put your cheese on the top and the bottom because it kind of holds everything in. If you just put it on your ingredients down and put it on top, it tends to slide off. Okay, and then if you put your cheese just on the bottom, the ingredients tend to shift around. It doesn't hold it in place. So we're going to do some healthy toppings this morning. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Every pizza, pretty much, has dough and pizza sauce and cheese, right? That's basically, you can have, that's a pizza right there for some people. That's a pretty boring pizza. And I'm not a boring pizza kind of guy. This is the ingredients that we're going to add in that we like. This is the stuff that we kind of like to have on our pizza. Just like there's specific ingredients in y'all's relationships, okay? Just because I like pepperoni doesn't mean that you like pepperoni, okay? Just because I go on dates with my wife doesn't mean that that's what will work in your relationship. This is how you spice it up, guys. This is how you figure out, and it takes some time. You got to figure out what works in your relationship. You got to figure out the toppings for your pizza, okay? That's what's important. You got to figure out what both you like and enjoy and how you connect with each other. Now, I will say, I love pepperoni, but we're on a diet. So this is turkey pepperoni. Now, I can't tell the difference, but it is turkey pepperoni. I love pepperoni. Got to make it pretty. All right. Now, tell you what, I'm making this for y'all. I've got mushrooms, peppers, and black olives. Do y'all like all those? Load it up. That's my kind of guy. All right. So we'll get our mushrooms going here. Now, we'll talk a little bit about personalizing your relationship. I can't stress that enough. It could be fishing. You know, your wife go fishing, hunting. I'll tell that story while I'm doing this. How did I know I was going to marry my wife? When we were dating, my family's big into deer hunting. We hunt in South Texas. And we go hunting every year. Can't talk and build at the same time. So I took my girlfriend hunting, right? I got to see what she's made of. I need to see if she's, worthy of my relationship. I knew I'd get some chuckles out of that one. So we went deer hunting, and we're sitting. She got up, 4 o'clock in the morning. She got up, no makeup, threw it up in a ponytail, threw some camo on, and I'm like, it's pretty good. So we got out to the deer stand, and we're sitting there, and it was actually the last weekend of deer season, and I hadn't killed anything, honestly, in 2 years. And she's sitting there, and we're watching, and it was honestly kind of slow that morning. And all of a sudden, she said, "Look." I said, "What?" And I'm looking. This was my field of view. I'm looking. I'm like, I don't see anything. There's the feeder. There's nothing at the feeder. See? She's a little bit more perceptive than I am. She wasn't just looking where she expected the deer to be. She was looking back behind us. And this huge 11-point buck walks from behind her stand. She said, "There he is." So he jumped the fence. I gave it a little grunt, 40 yards, popped him, dropped him right there. And she was just as excited as I was. Now, I said, "This is pretty good, but I'm not quite sure if she is quite marrying material yet, so I've got to just test the water a little bit. I love you, baby." So we got back to camp, and I figured, well, she's going to go take a nap, and I'm going to come out here and clean this deer. Oh, no. Here she goes. She's rolling her sleeves up. Okay. And she got into that deer with me. I'm telling you, I'm not going to go into all the details because somebody make it a little squeamish. But You know, she helped me clean that deer, and that was a special moment in our relationship. She never left my side throughout that whole process. I mean, and that, for a guy, she got in there and helped me clean that deer and didn't even balk at it. Thanks, Dad, by teaching that, by the way. Mike Moran is responsible for that. But I mean, those are those special ingredients that you find, you know, that when your wife likes to hunt. One of the things on date night, you like a lot of cheese? Oh, yeah. It's almost healthy. One of the things on date nights is, and now, ladies, I'm going to put you on the spot, and guys, you're going to say, wow. Our favorite date night place is, her favorite date night place is Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, I got a wife that I'm taking out on a date, and she lets me go eat hot wings and watch sports. Is that not awesome or what? Okay? I mean, that is some good ingredients right there for a relationship. So you see all these things come together. Now, that works for us. You don't need to go home and say, okay, babe, our next date needs to be a Buffalo Wild Wings or, you know, whatever. You got to find what works for you guys. Those are the ingredients that make your relationship or your pizza yours and special, okay? Now, let's see here. I've been talking and building. What do y'all think? Pretty good? Yeah. All right, now, check this thing out, man. I found this last week. I couldn't figure. I didn't think that, you know, the elders were going to let me bring a full-size oven in here. But I found this is the pizza pizzazz. Let's see if I can get it on here. Yeah. Watch. Yeah, let me move this. Is that not cool? That is the pizza pizzazz. $39.99 at Walmart. Or three equal installments of $9.99. I feel like a host. So we're going to let our pizza cook. Make sure I got it on dual. Oh, wait a second. I am a safety manager. So just in case, Jesse, I need you to stand by for me. If you see any flames, you're in charge of putting them out, all right? All right. So while that's cooking, we're gonna move on to... Oh, you know what? That was our ingredients. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a help suited for his needs. So that brings us to our third ingredient, our third key ingredient, and that's companionship. Companionship is the relationships. In the relationship is the shared needs between a couple, okay? Shared needs. You guys address shared needs together, just like we go to Buffalo Wild Wings or we do something together, and that builds that companionship. There's a lot of ways to do this. One of the things that we do other than date night is we enjoy doing yard work together, okay? Is that cooking? Oh, yeah, it's hot. That was smart. We enjoy doing yard work together. Matter of fact, we don't even let the kids help us. Maybe because I like it done a particular way. But really is, we do a lot. We do gardening together. We do. We planted a garden this year. Another thing we do is we do projects together. This week we built a big Texas flag to hang on the outside of our house in our backyard. You know, those are the little things that you can do together to build those relationships, find those special ingredients. But the companionship, you know, Genesis 2:18 says, a helper is suited for the needs, and they complement each other. Okay, that's a couple of key points in there, is they're suited. What does suited mean? Okay, you got to make sure you marry the right woman. You got to make sure you marry the right guy. You need to put maybe a little thought and a lot of prayer into this, okay? When you're dating, you need to look at this person and say, is this person suited for me? Do you complement each other? Now, I'm relatively handy and crafty, I think. See? Okay. So, every good crafty guy needs a helper, right? Okay. Mandy's my helper. She complements me. When we're doing projects, she helps by getting tools and grabbing stuff and holding stuff. Now, that works really well until I pull out the chop saw. I have never seen a woman enjoy running a power tool more than she enjoys running that chop saw. I mean, I'm surprised I don't have 20 pieces of wood just sitting out there just because she loves chopping that wood. But we complement each other. Okay, just like I said a while ago, I was the spender, the spontaneous spender. She's the conservative saver. Okay, the old adage, opposites attract. It's kind of a good thing when you complement each other, when you show up others' weaknesses. I have a terrible memory. If I ever forget y'all's name, don't feel bad. I forget names all the time. One of my wife's biggest jobs as my companion and as my, what's the word? The way that she fills my shortfalls, okay? She helps me remember things. All I have to do is look at her. We're that good now. We'll be walking down and somebody will say, "How are you doing?" All I got to do is look at her and she'll whisper in my ear because she knows. Okay? She knows I can't remember names. So she's always there to shore me up. She's suited for me. Okay? She's my helper. She compliments me. You know the old, what was the, she completes me. I know it's kind of cheesy, isn't it? But she does. She fulfills my shortfalls and my needs. Okay? Now, we talked a little bit about men and women. When it comes to the area of companionship, men need to feel respected. Okay? It goes along with the ego thing. Okay? And I'm telling you, ladies, if you can just act like you respect us, okay? Even when we're being idiots, you know, it's kind of like the old wives tell, whatever, that men don't stop and ask for directions. Now that's probably true for most of us, because it's that ego thing. We want to be respected. We want our wives to know that we can find our way. We don't need any stinking directions. Now thank God they came out with a thing that's called a GPS, and that's techie. So now you're a techie guy. You're not stupid. You're a techie guy. So that saves a lot of the guys now. But a man needs to be respected. He needs to feel respected. Now, sometimes you may not respect your husband. You know, he may do some things that just kind of turn you off. You may have a heart. But if you make him feel respected, okay, you're doing the world for him. Now, ladies need to feel connected. They need to feel connected. Okay, they need to feel joined. Why do you think 10 of them go to the bathroom every time together? They got to do stuff together. They got to have connections. So we've got to connect with our wives, guys. We've got to spend that time. We've got to connect with them. We cannot hold a conversation and watch the evening news at the same time. Okay? It just doesn't work. Our next scripture is 1 Peter 3:7. A husband should try to understand your wife and honor her. Although she is physically weaker, she is equally spiritual. Okay? What this talks about is in the spiritual world and in God's world, we're equals. And one of the things I like about the message when I was reading this was, you know, people say, well, it's 50-50. Well, it's really not in a marriage. It's 100%, 100%. You got to give 100% on both sides. It's not 50-50. It's not 30-70. It's 100-100. Okay? So you guys got to give each other. You're a team. And you got to look at it as you're a team. I mean, we're dorky. My wife and I, we build something or we do something. We build the garden. I mean, we high five. I mean, in the backyard by ourselves. You know, because we're a team, and that's the way we approach things. That's the way we look at things. Now, you notice in this scripture, the word right there in the first sentence, it says, husband should try to understand your wife. That is the good news, guys. God doesn't say we have to understand them all the time. We just got to try. And you know what? That's all she wants. Okay? We're not going to figure it out all the time. She just wants us to try. Okay? So here scripturally, that's your direction. That's your recipe. Try to understand her. Okay? You know, women are connectors. Men are fixers. I have a real problem with that. I try to fix things in my mind. My wife comes home and she's telling me all about her day. And then I catch myself. I do it all the time to her. I catch myself saying, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. She doesn't want me to fix her problems. She just wants to connect with me. She wants me to listen. Oh, by the way, guys, and this is hard for me, and my wife will tell you I mess this up all the time. You got to listen with your eyes, okay? Unless you're driving. If you're having a conversation with your wife, you need to look at her in the eyes, okay? Now, you may have all kind of things going around back here, but you need to look at her, because you listen with your eyes first, and then you listen with your heart next, okay? Listen with your eyes. When your wife is trying to connect to you, and you'll figure this out after a while, you need to listen with your eyes. You need to look at her, and then you start listening with your heart. You make her feel that you're connected. That feeling's very big for the ladies. Man, we tend to compartmentalize and fix. We tend to want to, oh, well, this is what this is, or this is what that is. That will turn a lady off so quick. You know, oh, well, that's just that, or that's just this. Or those people are just, you know, just listen to her. Connect with her. Let her talk to you. Last scripture here. Ephesians 5:3. But every husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and wives should respect their husband. That goes back to what we've talked about the love and being treasured. Find those key ingredients, guys. Find out. And if you don't know, ask. It's not that hard. Babe, what makes you feel treasured? What makes you feel loved? And listen, sometimes it's not the expensive jewelry. It's not the new toys. It may just be a neck rub when I got a headache. It may just be date night. But if you don't ask, you're not going to know what to give her. You're not going to know how to treasure. Ladies, respect your husband. If you don't know, ask. Babe, what do I do that makes you feel respected? How do I respect you? Okay? That's a little thing that works in marriage. It's called communication. Okay? Communicate with each other. Find out how you meet those specific needs and apply them in your marriage. All right. See how far we are here. Y'all smell that yet? That smell good? Awesome. No fires yet. All right. I'm going to end with a little story. Anybody know who that is? That is a young Nolan Ryan. That is actually Nolan Ryan, who's, for those of you who don't know, maybe the young kids, I actually found a kid the other day who didn't know who Nolan Ryan was. He was a Hall of Famer baseball. He was a Hall of Famer baseball player. And let me see. Yeah, that's good. He's from Alvin, Texas. Went to play high school ball in Alvin. And ended up playing for the Astros for many years. And then later on, he went to play for the Rangers, Texas Rangers. And I believe he's co-owner of the Rangers right now. But Alvin and Ruth met in high school. And it was love at first sight for these two. And Ruth wrote a book. Let's see if I wrote it down. Yeah. Ruth wrote a book about her life with Nolan Ryan. It's called Covering Home. And one of the things that she said in that book was, she remembers all the way back in high school, was probably the first time it happened, but Nolan Ryan would, he'd be in the dugout, they'd warm up and they'd go in there, and just before the game started, Nolan would always pop out of the dugout, and he would scan the crowd, and he would find Ruth, and he'd give her one of these and a little smile, and she'd smile back and wave, and he'd go back in the dugout. Now, that wasn't on any stat. That wasn't any record. But for Ruth Ryan, that was one of the most important parts of any baseball game. Even the no-hitters, she said. You know, for him to come out, and he did this every game. This ritual went on for 3 decades. Nobody else really knew what was going on. I mean, for a guy to go out and do like this to the stands, they don't know what's going on. But that connection that he made with his wife, okay, she felt connected. She knew that even though he was in the middle of that baseball game and he was about to go out there and play hard and he had all this other stuff to think about, for that moment, he stopped everything he was doing and he connected with his wife. okay? And it wasn't one way, because Ruth would always look back and wave, okay? You're the man. You're the man, okay? So we can learn something from Nolan Ryan and Ruth, that those little things that may not seem important to everybody else are probably the key ingredients for every marriage. Now, let's see how we did here. See if I can do this without burning myself. Oh, yeah. What do you think? Pretty good? Did we hit a home run? All right. So, guys, remember, put those key ingredients, find those key ingredients for you and your spouse. Learn what they are, and let's make some healthy pizzas. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you're our most awesome God. And Lord, we just know that you love us so much and that you take care of us so well. And Lord, we just thank you for those spouses and those significant others that you give us, Lord. And we just thank you for, in your book of wisdom, in your cookbook, Lord, the Bible, you tell us how to make those relationships strong, how to love each other, how to take care of each other. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us so much and that you want us to be happy so much that you give us those directions. Lord, I pray over to this congregation that their ingredients and their relationships will move to greater heights. Their relationships will grow and get stronger and better. And I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, Stan, if you'll come forward. If anybody needs to be ministered to this morning, John, if you'll come up, needs prayer. If you have a couple here that's been struggling with some of this and you want some believers to pray with you and believe with you that God's going to work some miracles in your relationships, come up and see us. John and I will be up here. The elders are available. Even if you're not, John's always available. But if anybody needs prayer this morning, please come forward. Thank you.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered cross.